Ready?
Hello, and welcome to the Rhythm and Pixels Video Game Music Podcast, episode 1-10. My name is Rob Nichols.
And I'm Pranit.
And thank you for joining us today on this magical ride of video game music history. Have you had a good week, Pranit?
I've had a fantastic week. We had snow, then we had melted snow.
Yeah, if you're on the East Coast, we had a lot of melted snow. It was pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Playing any fun games this week?
Yellow snow? No, wait, no. I played Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky. I'm actually finishing that game.
Nice, nice.
And I played more Skylanders. Don't play that game, ever. but I played. And I just started playing Final Fantasy Explorers for the 3DS. So
nice.
I've been pretty game active.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, I tried playing Gremlins again for the NES. Got to level 2-2. And I threw my controller against the wall.
And you didn't even get to the hard stage yet, as I would call it. Freaking TV station.
Yeah. I was just about... I'll get back to it. I want to like report on the show that I completed it. Anyway, enough about that. This is a podcast devoted to wonderful video game music, mainly classics, but we're going to go all across the board. Today is our 10th episode. I'm very excited. We have a special guest from the YouTube show, Pernell and Matt Play Games.
Patent pending. Trademark.
We have Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Matt, how are you? So why don't you tell us a little about yourself.
I'm Matt of Pernell and Matt Play Games. And I've known you guys for a while. I guess since we worked at Electronics Boutique together.
Yeah, we sold
99, 2000.
Yeah, we sold Dreamcast games.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I bought more Dreamcast games probably than I sold.
Oh my god, yeah. My money was in the straight negatives while I was there. Leaving that place was probably one of the better things. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. This guy kept on coming into the store. His name was Pernell, and I was like, what is with this guy?
Hey.
But then he ended up being really cool. So,
you know. And you got to admit, I must have put at least one of the employees' kids through college. I had to.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
of course. So, yeah. So, thank you for celebrating our 10th episode with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. As you can
it's
tell,
an honor.
He's not in the studio with us. He's over Skype because he's, like, you know, so far away, hours away in the land of Pennsylvania.
At least 40 minutes away.
They have
but
phone
like,
there.
Like you said, it's been snowing and
yeah, there's excuses and things.
I have kids. And...
So have you been playing anything or maybe listening to anything that you want to?
I've been trying to get on Final Fantasy Explorers, but then every time I open my 3DS, I end up playing Phoenix Wright, which I've been getting back into, like the original for some reason. And the music in that is just, it's so great.
Yes.
It's just like some of the tracks are
just
so fun.
How many games, how many Phoenix Wright games are out there?
A lot.
They made three for the DS, and then they made a couple for the 3DS. I think they made two or three. But
that's only if you're factoring in just Phoenix Wright. Then you have the spinoffs like Apollo Justice, which in itself is a continuation. Then you have the Miles Edgeworth game. It gets stupid ridiculous.
And the crossover with Professor Layton.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. There was a crossover, right? I think that would be a good idea, like a focus, a game focus, game series focus.
Oh,
yeah. Some of the music on that is just...
Yeah, I've actually never played the game or listened to the music, so I would be really excited to listen to that stuff.
Dancing around plot points will be a blast. Like, dude, that part when they go, I mean that part when the
I don't care so much about spoilers, honestly. I just want to play.
Oh, I want other people listening to the show to play, so I don't want to spoil it for them.
I've been playing that, and also The Witness, which is new game from Jonathan Blow.
Yeah, I'm really excited to try that.
It's really good. Actually, and speaking of music, there is almost absolutely zero music in it.
I hear it. It's like very atmospheric, very zen-like
immersive
game. So with the absence of music, it's probably, fits you into that world.
Yeah, it's kind of a plus. But it's been an obsession for the past few days. Exactly.
That won't be the first time I pull that out today because it's gets stuck in my head. So, without further ado, episode 1-10, Today is our, finally, I'm very excited, our focus on racing games.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
This is where Purnell first learned to drive.
Honestly, this is true. He's not making that up.
What, a super sprint?
Nah, first game, I learned how to drive playing Crazy Taxi in the arcade.
Oh, God.
Because the actual driving course I took at my high school was god-awful. We didn't actually have exposure to vehicles to play on or test.
You had, like, Crazy Taxi, like, in the classroom?
No, I would go to the arcade.
Teacher was like, all right, guys, let's make some crazy money.
Now, it was more like an actual driving exam. I did
your partner and partner up and make some crazy money.
No, it was just, he put me in the car, said, okay, time to drive. And I did. When it came time to drive.
You're ready.
I kicked butt on 95, Interstate 95, but I actually drove on someone's lawn in a residential area because I was trying to cut the turn too wide. But yeah, I passed driver's ed, and without lying, honestly, I learned how to drive playing Crazy Taxi in the arcade in preparation for the exams.
That's fantastic.
Well, we have tracks, a lot of Super Nintendo. We have some PlayStation. Matt's got a very special treat from us from a recent game.
For us.
For us. For you.
I didn't give Matt anything we're talking about.
So, all right. So this is number 10. I'll start us off. The first game I'm going to pick from is called Shutoku Battle 2. And for the Super Famicom, and the track is called Night Cruise, and I couldn't find any individual composer information, but it's from the Bulletproof Software sound team. Listening to Night Cruise from the game Shutoku Battle 2 for the Super Famicom by the BPS Bulletproof Software sound team. It's also known as Drift King Shutoku Battle or Toge Densetsu. I just downloaded this soundtrack just randomly just to see what was on it, and it turns out that this is like the predecessor to Midnight Battle. No, is it Midnight Racing for the Dreamcast?
Wait, oh, Tokyo?
Tokyo
Midnight Club.
Tokyo Midnight Club and Wangan or Wangan. Wangan Midnight. Yeah, so all of like these illegal street racing video games that came out started from here. The person they had, an actual driver, a professional driver, who was involved in the origination of the drift racing scene. And I don't know if I wrote his name down. I absolutely
Drift
did not.
King?
Yeah, he was called the Drift King. I had his name written down in my notes, and then I deleted all my notes. But no, he is the inspiration for Initial D, and so you can thank the Initial D games. You can thank Midnight Battle, Wagnan Street Racing, all those like crazy illegal street racing games all started here. And so that was just really cool to learn that. But hold on, here comes my favorite part: the bass. Oh, so good. The fact they did that bass
Fantastic.
Pitch bend on the SNES is so good. What do you think, Purnell?
I think it's pretty good. I'm kind of grooving over here to it. I just don't have much to say about it in general because I've heard of Wangan Midnight and I've heard of, you know, Tokyo Midnight Club and all those games, but I didn't get into like the street racing games until I think like Burnout 3. So I was really missing out on an entire subgenre of racing games for a long time. But now I kind of want to play a little bit more of this.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they had these types of games on the Super Famicom. or the Super Nintendo. Like, I wasn't really into the racing games. I have a cousin who loves racing games on the Super Nintendo. And he was the inspiration for this episode, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like...
How about you, Matt? Matt, do you play a lot of other racing games back in the day?
You know, I more back in the day, I guess, but, you know, only because there wasn't, you know... I didn't really seek them out, but, I mean, you know, F-Zero and Mario Kart and, you know, stuff like that were, like, you know, really, like, showed off, like, the Super Nintendo and you know, RC Pro-Am was one of the greatest games for the NES, you know, so it was always, they were some of the most fun back in the day. These days, you know, like, I'll play an arcade kind of, you know, style racing game, but I'm not too much into the, you know, the simulator kind of games.
Yeah, I tried to get into the simulators with Gran Turismo. And it turned out that I just liked Ridge Racer and Initial D and those kinds of... Because, like, things where it's, like, we're drifting, where you're creating the most amount of friction on your wheels would normally slow you down. But these games actually just speed you up. Because, like, the cooler you look, the faster you go.
Absolutely.
I look over at Purnell. Well,
I mean, I usually drive with both hands on the wheel and my face up against the glass, so clearly I'm not doing so well.
Sideways across I-95 on the way to work.
Here we go.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Purnell, what did you bring us for your first track today?
Well, I've kind of gone with another one of my old favorite games, one I was thankful and fortunate enough to have come across me when I was in my younger years. Mm-hmm. The track itself is called... It's from the game Moto Rotor from the TurboGrafx-16 and is called Shout in the Dark.
Awesome.
We are back to Purnell and Rhythm and Pixels, and you are listening to Motor Rotor Shout in the Dark from the TurboGrafx-16. I had a lot of difficulty kind of locate a composer for this. The best I came up with was the anonymous name, Opus, really? O-P-U-S.
Oh, okay. I had unknown. I couldn't find one, but I'll do a little research after the show.
Now, this was like, I don't know, like... I actually, this is the kind of music that actually makes me want to get up and move to it. Like, whenever I would play this game, it was usually, if I recall, like 8 heats that you would do. Mm-hmm. And this showed up on, like, the 2nd heat and maybe the 7th. And I was always so excited to play these 2 races because I wanted to hear this music. And I would jam to it.
I gotta say, I like that you have this experience with the TurboGrafx-16 because it's such a unique sound. And there's a lot of... It's not as mainstream as, like, the Sega or the Nintendo, so there's a lot of music that a lot of people like myself have not heard of. And this track is great.
I was really lucky. Like, my uncle's best friend back when they were in high school together, basically how I was buying a ton of games in high school, they would do that. And his friend was a huge fan of this new game system, the TurboGrafx, so... He went and bought every game under the sun. Whenever my uncle would go to his house, he would drag his little goofy nephew along with him, and I could play the cool games that he had. And when he let him borrow the system, he basically was letting me borrow the system.
That's nice.
And then ultimately, eventually, I was able to convince my parents to get me a TurboGrafx-16, and then later a Turbo Duo, both of which are broken now. I'm depressed about that. But the memories will always be there, and the discs with nothing to play them on are always going to be on my shelf.
Well, we can keep revisiting them on the show.
Better believe it.
So, Matt, what do you think of this track, then? This is more of a classic style.
It's great. It's so happy and it like it really sounds like a song that should have lyrics.
It's funny.
Which I imagine Purnell as a kid making up lyrics to it. since that's what he does.
Oh, I probably was. Gotta go drive that car real fast. Because like the game was like a lot of the games on the TurboGrafx had like an anime style to them, like whether the art in the game was anime themed, whereas a lot of Super Nintendo games, I mean, obviously it came from Japan, but you didn't have the anime vibe in a lot of them.
Not so frequently. I was recently watching a playthrough of Metal Storm for the NES, and that was like super anime style.
Yeah, but like that was like a rare case of it though too, right?
Like, yeah, I think it was later in the lifespan of the NES, but yeah, it was like big robot anime.
But with this system, like pretty much everything had an anime theme to it, downright to the point where, like Matt made the comment of, you could outright practically hear anime lyrics pop off of tracks sometimes. And then when they got to the Turbo CD era, pretty much every game had an anime opening to it. So it was like, it was leading up to it. So very astute, something to notice there, sir.
Yeah. All right, so Matt, you are not just here to listen to great music with us. We asked for a little homework.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
my first one is from F-Zero for the Super Nintendo.
Nice.
The track is Silence.
Silence from F-Zero.
Ooh.
For the Super Nintendo. Yes.
So good.
Composer is Yumiko Kanki. That's what I have.
There's a name for you.
I have Yumiko Kanki and someone else. Naoto Ishida. There's two composers on. I don't know which one does which songs, but...
Yeah, this one I think I had Yumiko as the composer of this track.
I'm sure each would tell you they each did the awesome one.
They probably are. Yeah, I did the better one. But yeah.
And I tried to look up to see what else they did, and that's like, their other games are listed as like F-Zero-X and F-Zero-GX, so I guess, probably other arrangements of their songs from the first one.
Yeah, I'm going to probably explore those later on this week just to see if there are any variations. But this is... Yeah, this is like put your hands up. You've already won this race right here. This is your victory lap, right?
Yeah, on it.
No, I mean like almost all the tracks are great like this. And it was tough for me to pick a track from F-Zero. I knew I wanted to do F-Zero, but all the tracks are so great, and I didn't want to go with one of the big ones, that everybody knows. Well, that a lot of people know, like Big Blue or. Whatever the other one is.
The funny part is that
Mute City.
Like we had a slight convo about that because we were talking about, because we were kind of prepping and we were talking about F-Zeros and I didn't want to step on his toes.
Oh, no,
but like he was asked to talk about how he wanted to choose a track from the Super Nintendo game, which I honestly hadn't really played much of. I didn't like F-Zero till the N64. Oh. So I'm going through the tracks and like, what was the one? I'm trying to remember the one it was. I think I was like Mute City, the one I liked. And I was like, this must be one of everybody likes. He's like, no, actually, it's Big Blue. I'm like, this is blasphemous. This is the best.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, Mute City, man.
So, what about this track do you like so much then?
I mean the way it starts out, you know, kind of low key, almost like a 90s jazz kind of thing, and then it kind of builds with other instruments layered on, and that funk, you know, slap, you know, not slap bass, but yeah, that bass line that comes in.
Yeah, it's like the Super Nintendo. They had like a tuba bass, like they reused like a lot of games, and it makes kind of like a fun, like poppy, like
exactly.
So it's like they're playing it like a slap bass.
Yeah. I mean, I got the Super Nintendo on launch, and I had Mario World and Pilot Wings, but you know, both of which are great. But F-Zero was the game that I always went to Blockbuster or like West Coast Video or whatever to rent.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the first one I always check to see if it was in. Is F-Zero in? And then like try and beat my high scores that were still on the cartridge. and then like friends would get it, and I'd be like, hey, can I borrow your F-Zero for a while?
Just to wreck their scores too.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they get mad because I wreck their lap, you know, times and stuff. But but you know, eventually a couple years later I finally owned it. But it was just the kind of game where, you know, the racing's great and like the style of it is great, but then I would also like just pause it just to listen to the music.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's very unique. It's a futuristic jazz. I feel like it always sounded like very futuristic to me without like sounding like techno music at the time.
Yeah, some of the tracks are jazzy. Some of them are like almost like metal, like you know, rock based, and you know, it's a good mix.
And you could tell they were definitely going for that too, because later games in the series they ramped up the rock portion of it for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, this is a good segue into more anti-gravity racing. This is a anti-gravity racing kind of episode. Except for my first track, that was street racing. This is all right, so my next track is from the game Wipeout, the first Wipeout for the PlayStation. I have a lot of amazing memories of this game, and the series in general has like formed my musical tastes like over the years. Just this game means a lot more, the soundtrack to this game means a lot more to me than a lot of music that's out there. So from the game Wipeout for the PlayStation, this is the song Cryodrome by the composer Cold Storage, aka Tim Wright. This is Cryodrome from the game Wipeout for the PlayStation. The artist is Tim Wright, aka Cold Storage.
I'm
This is a long track, so we're just going
to... I'm going to see dancing in my seat to it, so I'm not going to change my vibe because of how we're running it.
I had this game for the PC, and I didn't actually get into the game for a while. I would just put the CD like in the CD player, and all the music was red-booked, you know, and so it would just play as tracks, and I would just listen to it like all day long, and I'd pop it in the car and just listen to this music, and I just got really into 90s techno listening to Wipeout.
So it was definitely an inspiration to the music you would later come to write.
Yeah, and then on Wipeout 2 came out called Wipeout XL. There was tracks from like Future Sound of London, which it introduced me to all of these amazing electronic acts. And it introduced me to Fotech, and who does drum and bass. And now I have been listening to drum and bass forever since.
And just, he writes it. He writes his own. He doesn't want to point that out.
I just love the music. I love it so much. And I was introduced to so many great artists and types of music that I would have never been introduced to if it wasn't for Wipeout. And I just love this game.
I just sucked at Wipeout because for some reason I was that guy that never quite... All the power-ups had these weird like icons to them. Like it didn't look like a missile. It was like a curly Q with a bunny on it or something. Well,
The game had a very slick design. It was it was sourced from a group called Designers Republic, which had like a very like that 90s futuristic, like the movie Hackers in 95. Like I always think of that, but like that mixed with Blade Runner.
Mashing one with Tandy.
Right. Where it's like, instead of like a lettering and stuff, they would just have like a line, and like that would be, I don't know, it's just a very, very minimal design. And Wipeout 3 was so minimal that the menu system was just a giant, it was just all gray. It was just a gray screen. Which I loved it. I fell in love with that stuff.
But like, Matt, did you ever play much Wipeout?
I did a little bit, I was ready to get into it because, I loved F-Zero so much, and I'm like, oh yeah, more, you know, zero gravity racing. And it was definitely the kind of game that matched the, you know, the new PlayStation attitude that, you know, like had that kind of design and stuff like that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, what they were promoting at the time was like, like they were like the new thing. And
the adult games.
Yeah,
like,
you're not ready.
Yeah, the gamers were growing and becoming adults, and they wanted something,
But I could not keep myself off the walls, and I just could not get the hang of it for some reason, like Purnell. But the music was great, and like every once in a while I'd get into a zone, especially on the PSP version. I'd like finally find a zone, and the music would help me find that trance zone where I could finally stay on the track and and avoid other cars and shoot other cars and win occasionally.
This artist also did the one that was on the handheld, Wipeout Pure.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And there's another one. I've never heard of it. I've heard the name, but I never played it. It was called Gravity Crash.
Well, I can bring out one. I can bring over that came out was on the Vita. I actually have it at home. I can bring it by.
Which one was that?
I think it's like Wipeout 2084.
Okay, I'm not sure. Like a lot of the other ones, they did. They got licensed like artists to do like their music and stuff. But on this guy, he did all of Wipeout Pure, Gravity Crash, and a few others. Mainly like a lot of like those MTV Create Your Own Music video stuff. He did a lot of like the background music for those things. But I like this track because it's got that cool 90s techno sound. It's got that cool like Eastern female singing going on, and it's got like these almost like four or five like distinct movements, like all different going throughout this song.
Yeah,
it's very cool. Very very slick.
I just keep going, yeah, yeah, yo, yeah.
All right, that is enough from Wipeout. We're going to stick with the PlayStation, going to Purnell.
The game I'm going to choose. Well, I had to choose it because if I didn't, I'd be eating my hat with ketchup per previous episode. There were many
Are you trying to say something? Like, should we have eaten before?
No, we shouldn't have. No, I had said I was going to do this.
It's like our second podcast. Purnell eats his hat.
When that comes, that'll be a later date. I lose bets very rarely, but when it happens, I'll eat a hat. The track
I
chose.
Just offering. I was going to like bet money or anything. All right, I'm going to let you finish. All right, go ahead.
Let's get one of those like guacamole, you know, like the
the nacho hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that'll cover the bases. Like it is a hat. I've worn this out once.
It's a win-win.
Munch. The track that I went with is Ridge Racer Type 4.
It's from Ridge Racer Type 4, mm-hmm. and the track is called The Ride. We're back to Rhythm and Pixels. You are listening to Ridge Racer Type 4 The Ride, composed by, apparently, where was it you said you could only find?
I only found the Namco sound team.
Oh, man. We'll have to look that up later and probably put it up on the website at some point. Just kind of fill it in. The interesting thing about this track, though, is like, I got in a series at Rage Racer, and when I got to Type 4, I was all gung-ho ready to play, and I got the Negcon controller that came with it, which was essentially like a nub in the center of a controller.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. Did they only make this? They only made this because the controller was specifically for this game?
It was made specifically for this game.
Oh,
it was
wow.
a pack-in. It was produced. It was made by Namco.
Huh.
Everything. And, like, this music track right here, for some reason, was the only track in the whole game I wanted to listen to. So I played the living daylights out of this thing to the point where it got old, but it really didn't because I unlocked literally every track the game, every car the game had to offer, including the Pac-Man car.
I got obsessed with it. I rented it, and then I just played it so much, this one for the PlayStation. So I loved these games in the arcade, and that was my only exposure to it for the longest time. But the but this one, I remember I picked like the Japanese like racing team or something. You could pick like different like teams.
Yeah.
And I just played it to death, like every mode, every car, every like tuning option. I just did so much in this game. Just had a great experience with it. Matt, did you have any like arcade experiences with Ridge Racer?
Yeah, I think I definitely played at least one of them in the arcade at the Putt-Putt. That's that was like, you know, a couple of blocks away from my house.
Oh my god, that's dating us, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, I think the Putt-Putt's still there. But
sweet.
Now it's like almost right across the street from my house. But it's you know, like Ridge Racer was always fun. I always like that one track where you go under the overpass or like, you know, under that cave kind of thing. I don't know, but it was always kind of fun, a little bit arcadey. But then, you know, like I think the game started getting a little bit more in depth, and that kind of, you know, that wasn't my thing,
right?
So I didn't really get into them too deep.
I would say though that this was a breath of fresh air at the time when it came out, because when by the time R4 came out, we were at the point where everyone was getting into the Gran Turismo, which was...
Yeah, was this after Gran Turismo 2?
This came out after Gran Turismo 2.
Yeah,
that was a big deal.
So it was nuts, because, I mean, that game... As a question, maybe... I know this came out after Gran Turismo 1, maybe not... Maybe a little before 2, though.
Okay.
But, essentially, this... I mean, there was still... There was definitely more tweaking in this than other Ridge Racer games, but it still didn't have... so much when you factor in that Gran Turismo pretty much had you choose what pads you had on your brakes. It was ridiculous.
Oh, no, that was too much. You had to earn, like, all the licenses for everything.
Yeah, it was like a cool idea, but when I got to sit down and play, I was like, I don't have interest in this. I just want to drive a cool car around a track.
This is, like, our theme of the show is, like, we're playing, like, tracks from, like, you know, arcade-y, like, fun, you know, type racing games, not the simulator type stuff.
Well, in their defense, though, we got to acknowledge when we say that, too, that we don't play licensed tracks on this show so much. Well, at least we try not to.
We won't.
And
we will not.
We will not.
It's the rule.
But, like, by the time we got to the area, the period where simulation racers started coming out, and we got to the PS2 era and the like, and even a lot of the PS1, a lot of companies were using licensed tracks for their games instead of composing their own. So that kind of killed the ability to sit down and say, I want to drive this cool, interesting new track. Though, with that in mind, though, I did learn about some cool indie bands through things like Burnout 3. So
Yeah, and I learned a lot of bands through Wipeout, which is cool.
So it wasn't all bad, just you wouldn't hear those tracks on the show.
So, Matt, we're on to your final game track. Why don't you tell us what you brought with us?
My last track is from Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U, which if you haven't played it, it might be one of the most polished gaming experiences that you can have. It's ridiculous how polished it is from like a gameplay standpoint, from a graphic standpoint, and especially from a music standpoint, because it's and I want to do a little bit of intro before we play the song. Maybe like a third of the tracks have a lot of dynamic music. Like as you go through the track, as the environment changes, the music itself changes dynamically. It doesn't matter where you are in the track, you know, it'll switch from one version of the song
to
another.
It's like almost all playing simultaneously, and then like things and objectives change, like the music can change the moods and everything. That's cool.
Right. So I put together kind of an example of Dolphin Shoals. Ooh. Which I think was probably the best. It was the most wildly different, you know, example where the different tracks.
how about we go into the track itself, and then you can kind of talk more about it after people had a chance to jam listen.
Let's give this whole thing a listen. What do you say?
Sure. Let's do it.
Great. So this is Dolphin Shoals from Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U. You are listening to Dolphin Shoals from the game Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U. I've got a number of composers on this, Matt. Do you know which one did it? Do you know which composer did this one?
I have no idea. It's one of six, or maybe all of six. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a lot of instruments in there. There's Asuko Asahi, Shiho Fujii, Ryo Nagamatsu, Kenta Nagata, and Yasuaki Iwata.
Yeah, that's what I have too. And performed by the Mario Kart Band.
The Mario Kart Band.
Yeah, which there's like, you know, there's a couple guitars, a couple drum players, a couple trombone trumpets, you know.
So they went all out on this as far as like
absolutely
the orchestra goes.
Right. And the amazing thing is that like, when you listen to this track, if you want to rewind the podcast and listen to it,
well, actually, how about this? Let's go back to the beginning.
Sure.
All right. So I'm
gonna, yeah, no problem.
So I'm going to hold on. It's so hard to stop it when this saxophone player is just pouring his heart out.
Tearing it up.
So good.
All right, here you go. I'm bringing it back to the beginning. Yeah.
Okay.
Beat your heart out, sexy jazz man.
So this beginning part is you start off in shallow waters. And then I made a second loop where you're in deeper waters, and that kind of sounds like a little bit more echoey. They keep the same steel drum track basically, but they they take a couple instruments out, and it sounds a little bit gloomier. But then, you know, when you're playing this map, at some point during the lap, you pop out of the water up this ramp into the sun, and the saxophone just explodes, and you're like, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" and I tried to replicate that when, you know, in the middle of that one.
Yeah, we were listening to it, and you were like, "Wait for it, wait for it."
So, for any of you intrepid drivers who have to be driving in a tunnel or something, yet still somehow get a podcast signal, and then hopefully that saxophone kicks in just as you come out of the tunnel.
It's amazing. But like, you know, you might not notice the difference between like the shallow and the deep water versions as you're playing it, because you're trying, there's a saxophone, because you're trying to dodge, you know, like red shells, and you're trying to collect coins, and you're trying to do a million other things.
And that one turn is rough too when you're coming up out of it.
Oh, absolutely. But like there's other maps where, you know, the song is kind of the same. There's one that's in a subway where it's like kind of happy up top, but then when you go down below, like the horns are the same, but then it has this crazy funk slap bass version of the the underground Mario theme. It's like,
oh, nice,
like
nice.
And but it just like slides it in as you go down the steps into the subway, and then slides it back out as you come up, just like effortlessly, and you would never notice unless you're sitting listening to it. And I was trying to pick a track for Mario Kart 8, and I was listening to the official like OST. And for this track, I'm like, I remember this one being really good. Mm-hmm. And on the OST, they just had this version.
Oh, really?
It was just the saxophone.
You didn't have the other ones on there.
Huh. That's so I remember there being different stuff. So then I went like on YouTube and found like that a whole bunch of tracks have like five different versions.
Oh, wow.
Like this part at the end where he has this whole solo is the version that you hear when you do the highlight reel.
Oh.
You go back and watch yourself.
Oh, that's cool.
Play through.
That's like you go back and like all the awesome technique, what you would think would be all the awesome parts that you did, and you got like this saxophone player like, yeah,
right,
you
exactly
did it.
And then the racing is just Wario staring at you like, yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah.
All I hear when I hear that is like, lady. Exactly. You're my lady.
The saxophone is fantastic.
Driving through them dolphin shows.
And they actually have a couple F-Zero tracks that you could play through.
Oh, cool.
Mario Kart 8, and the versions of the, you know, the music that they do Big Blue and Mute City, and they're just like mind blowing. It's amazing.
Oh, I am going to be checking this soundtrack out when I probably I'll listen to this when I go to work.
Or
I have a feeling this is really going to be awesome.
Or bring your butt over to my apartment and we can play the game.
Yeah, we haven't played in a while. That'd be awesome.
I own
this.
There.
You can do that in my house, whatever.
Or at Matt's.
Right.
Absolutely.
Challenge.
every episode. Every episode.
It's so good.
Like, oh, it's so
and there's
good.
Actually, there's videos on YouTube of the actual people playing it. you know, like they had like documentary footage of the recording sessions.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome.
All right, we're gonna bring this one down. We're getting into the final part of our show, which is called the bonus round.
Bonus round.
This is the part of the show that we pick covers or remixes of video game music within the theme of the episode. And today's episode is racing. So there's plenty of awesome racing remixes. And of course, the one game you'd expect the most remixes from, Mario Kart. So for my first remix, I found one from the artist Aylen, A-Y-L-E-N. I think he does a lot of like modern dance music stuff. And this is just called Mario Kart, with V's instead of A's, but it's just Mario Kart. So Mario Kart from the artist Island.
D's car.
D's cards. Just Mario Kart from the artist Island.
So good. From my bonus track, we're just going to play that one again. Because that was really, really good.
Oh, wow, I'm glad I picked a good one. This is not a competition.
Oh, I know.
I'm just glad you...
No, but you still won.
You definitely still won. Yes, you did.
Oh, man.
I was glad that the toad got slapped next time. I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, a little bit of everybody in that track.
That was great, but... when Wario comes in,
he's
all over.
Yes, he does.
That was awesome. I'm actually really excited for all of our tracks because we all picked really different ones.
Yeah.
So?
I love how he says, we all picked really different ones, and then I go, my tracks from Mario Kart.
different styles.
But I know. Styles, I just thought it was funny, though. But like... I had trouble choosing because I was originally really obsessed with trying to find something from Super Off-Road, but I guess a lot of people aren't trying to remake Super Off-Road.
No, unfortunately. Although, didn't they use like that Toyota theme song?
I don't think so, yeah. But now you got me wondering.
Toyota.
No, start your winches.
I'm just going to have like a bed of that. just playing in the background through the entire episode.
But due to being unable to find anything from Super Off-Road, I did go to look for other stuff, which, of course, being as the most remixed racing game I could think of,
absolutely,
Mario Kart. And my favorite track tune from the series is Donut Plains. Mm. And fortunately, the 1UPs happened to do a fantastic rendition of the Donut Plains. And we're about to listen to that bad boy right now.
Back,
Donut Plains by the 1UPs.
Yeah, yeah, man, we're just really into that, like the drums and the guitar, and that flute was just
that flute.
I know I'm typically a guy who likes to sit here and rock out this stuff, but I'm serious. Every once in a while, a man just got a groove, and when he needs the groove, the 1UPs are the one point of choice to get groove on.
It's so nice, and like that Mario Kart music is like a great, like if it's a. Just fits really well with the 1UPs sound that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing it home with that vibra slap at the end.
Yeah. I can't even remember the name of that instrument.
Yeah,
I can't make that noise in my mouth. But
I'm like, the doodly-doo. No. That's what I would call it. The doodly-doo.
A good call on the vibra slap.
Absolutely. It's the best.
So, Matt, why don't you bring us on home with the last track?
Okay. How much do you want me to intro this last track, or do we just want to
give us
say what it is and then we'll talk about it afterwards?
Why don't we go with that?
Okay.
Yeah.
this last song is which one did I pick? Did I pick Big Blue?
You picked Big Blue. That's what
we
got anyway.
This is Big Blue from the F-Zero Jazz album. That came out in the early 90s, soon after F-Zero was released. I think it was a promotional thing. And I'm just fascinated that it exists. So
I didn't notice this until you enjoy. Just said it.
Right. Yeah. No, I didn't know about it until about a year ago. But enjoy the sounds of 90s jazz with Big Blue. Yes, indeedy.
We need a jazz injection stat.
We are back with
Matt
and the Big Blue from F-Zero, the jazz rendition.
Oh, I was singing something fierce in that tune. It is good.
Oh man! So, you have anything else you can tell us about this music?
Wikipedia says that it was released in March of '92. That some Japanese like publisher released it, so I'm guessing it was a promotional thing to go along with the game, since the game was popular. But you know, it takes a lot of the songs from the game, including, and as I was telling you guys, the title screen is the first song. Mm-hmm. And like the title screen is just do 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 do, and then just that's all it is in the game.
Yeah.
But they take that and riff on it for 5 minutes and take it in so many directions. But and it's all, every song is that, you know, super produced, you know, smooth 90s jazz that, you know, it's and they're all like really technically very like talented musicians, but it cracks me up every time when I hear it. And, you know, it's good, you know, it's pretty good, but at the same time, it's so of its time that it just makes me laugh. It's
I like that overproduced like jazz sound. Yes. And then just, yeah, again with the saxophones, man, bringing the saxophones, yeah, to the Rhythm and Pixel studio.
Yeah, apparently all the people who played on it are like, they're all LA session musicians, like big, uh-huh, you know, if you were in LA making music at the time, you would know all these people. Robin Ford, the guy who played guitar on it, is evidently a big jazz guitar guy. Like he's on Miles Davis records, on a Kiss record, and you know, like he just picks up work here and there. So I guess in the 90s, some Japanese company was like, "Hey, we got these two guys who this couple who arranged a whole bunch of jazz songs. You guys looking for a paycheck? Absolutely."
Well, let's do it. Well, what I have the full credits I have, the originals, of course, were Yumiko Kanki and Naota Ishida. And then it was arranged by Robert Hill and Michiko Hill. Robert Pee Wee Hill. And then featuring Mark Russo and Robin Ford. So,
yes.
I guess those are their
Robert Pee Wee Hill, who I found on Facebook, is playing some concert with Moore's Day and the Time coming up. So,
he's still
working.
That sounds
the
perfect.
Hill family is still in business.
Well, thank you very much for bringing that sound to us today.
Absolutely. I have a confession to make. That is the reason why I wanted to come on the show. Is that I wanted to play that and bring it to other people.
Well, I'm glad you did, because you brought it to me, definitely, and I love it. I was making up lyrics to this thing.
Yeah, yeah, Brunel's having a good time with this one. Thank you for listening to the Rhythm and Pixels Video Game Music Podcast. This is our 10th episode, 1-10, our focus on racing music. I had a great time with my buddies Purnell and Matt from Purnell and Matt Play Games.
It was absolutely a fantastic time.
I want to say I have been a huge fan of this show since episode one.
Thanks.
And it's a huge honor for me to be on the show. Thank you for having me on.
No, it was great.
It's the perfect drive time, you know, podcast. I get in my car at work and I turn it on, and you guys wrap up as soon as I'm pulling up to my house.
Well, this episode's going to be a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's all right. That's all right.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed the episode being on it, because don't be surprised if we bug you about coming back.
Oh, please. I will absolutely come on anytime. This is amazing.
Well,
thank you.
If you want to contact us, send us some notes, information, feedback, anything like that, you can email us. What is that email, Purnell?
Rhythm and Pixels. I'm tired.
Oh, come on, man.
It just hit me. I'm like,
You know it. You know it.
Rhythm and Pixels at hotmail.com.
Thank you. And if you want to get a full track listing, full artist information, or if you want to leave us a comment on our website, check out our website
at rhythmandpixels.com. I win.
And please check us out on iTunes. If you like what you're hearing, give us hit that subscribe button, and you'll get us every Monday on your iPod listening device thingy, wherever you're listening to us on.
Your dingum bomb.
And if you really like us, please give us a rating, leave us a comment on iTunes. That really helps us out, helps us to get noticed in iTunes, and for more people. I just want more people to hear this great music. I mean, I just want to share this with as many people as possible, just all of the great video game music that exists.
I agree with that. And in addition to that, I like talking game music with people too. So as much as I like talking music with my buddy Rob here and with Matt, it's also nice to hear from the guys who are listening to the show too. What do you guys like? What do you want to hear? Give us some topics.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever you guys want to hear, we'll take a listen, because we're always looking for new stuff. We like music. We like a lot of music, like all music. So we're going to listen to all of it.
Bonus points for shoegazy.
Yeah, he likes the shoegaze. Shoegaze.
Shoegazy.
I realize I did not sound like my voice. I don't know why. Anyway, this wraps up 1-10. I'm going to call this our first season of Rhythm and Pixels. We're going to start with 2-1. We're going to think of a topic for next week. So, again, we are the Rhythm and Pixels Video Game Music Podcast. I am Rob Nichols.
And I'm Purnell.
I want to thank our special guest, Matt. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
All right. And have a great day, everybody.
Now you're cooking with gas.